بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن الذين هادوا سماعون للكذب سماعون لقوم آخرين لم يأتوك يحرفون الكلمة من بعد مواضعه يقولون إن أوتيتم هذا فخذوه وإن لم تؤتوه فاحذروا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. سورة المائدة chapter number 5 verse number 41 begins by addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In the beginning of the verse, Allah says to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, do not feel sorry for those, or do not worry about those who are adamant about their disbelief. And then God tells us, who are those who are adamant about their disbelief? وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ سَمَّعُونَ لِقَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. Now, when the phrase مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا is mentioned in the Quran, whom is it referring to? The Jews of the time. Sometimes they are referred to as الْيَهُودِ قَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ. Sometimes they are referred to as الَّذِينَ هَادُوا. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that among these people are those who listen to fabrications and lies and they believe them and they teach them to others. Our fifth Imam, Al-Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, says in regards to this verse, he says that this verse, which speaks of the people who reject the words of God, they insist on disbelief, and they insist on twisting the words which they hear. He says the following incident took place. He says that one day, the Jews of Khaybar came to the Prophet, and they wanted the Prophet to judge between them in a certain matter. What was this matter? They had found a Jewish nobleman and a Jewish noblewoman who were not related, and they were both married, had, wal'iyadu billah, committed adultery. So they gathered the witnesses, they convicted them, but they wrote to the Jews of Medina. These were the Jews of Khaybar. They wrote to the Jews of Medina. They said, go seek the advice of Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. They said, seek his advice on what we should do with these people. How should we deal with them? Should we punish them or no? And Imam al-Baqir, in his hadith, he says the reason they sought his advice was because they thought that if they referred to him, he would lessen the punishment. For them, they knew that the punishment for a married person to commit adultery was execution. So they went to the Prophet, and they thought that the Prophet would lessen the punishment. So they came to the Prophet, and they said to him, what is your opinion on this matter? What should we do? So the Prophet told them, would you accept my judgment if I told you what to do? They said, yeah, we will accept your judgment. He says that if the conditions are met, if there are enough witnesses, then these people should be executed. Here is where they pumped their brakes. They said, no. No, we came to you seeking a lesser punishment. At that moment, Jibra'il comes to the Prophet. And he tells the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, if they do not accept their judgment, give them an option which they will accept. He says, what? He says, refer them to a Jewish man who lives in the land of Fadak. This man is familiar with the original laws which were prescribed to Abraham and Moses and the prophets. So the prophet begins to describe this man. His name is Ibn Surya. He says, bring for me a man named Ibn Surya. Do you know him? They say, yes, we know him. He says, what do you know about him? They say that he is the most knowledgeable of people after the prophets. And he is very familiar with the law of Moses. So he brings him. And the prophet tells him that reveal to these people the law of Moses. So he reveals to them that according to the law of Moses, if the conditions are met, these people must be executed. Again, they did not want to accept the testimony. So the prophet tells him, he asks, why are these people not familiar with the law of Moses? So this man, this expert in the law, he begins to explain. He says that in the beginning, every man, woman, and child was subject to the law of Moses. Everyone was subject to the laws of God. But after a while, we saw that, we can't punish everybody, right? Some people have to be above the law. Some people have to have immunity. What if a king does evil? What if the relative of a king does evil? What if a minister, what if a wealthy man does evil? Do we have to punish them as well? No, we don't want to punish them. We can benefit from these people. So what did they begin to do? They began to suspend the laws and they began to grant immunity to certain people. So if you were royalty, you were granted immunity. If you were a minister, you were granted immunity. And then gradually, they granted immunity to everybody. Because one day, one of the cousins of one of the kings which ruled them was caught red-handed, committing adultery. So they wanted to punish him, but the king said, no, you cannot punish him. So the people turned to him, they said that, why can't we punish him? Why have you granted him immunity? He says, okay, to make things better, I will grant him immunity and everyone else immunity. And at this point, we decided to suspend the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when this verse was revealed. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ سَمَّعُونَ لِقَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them that they twist the words of Allah in order to benefit themselves. And then when they hear something from you, Ya Rasulullah, they do not accept it. And they tell their community members, do not accept the words of Rasulullah. Why? Because it does not agree with us. It does not agree with what we are accustomed to. So they suspended the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this moment, another verse was revealed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ahl al-kitabi qad ja'akum rasuluna. O people of the book, our messenger has come to you. Yubayyinu lakum kathiran mimma kuntum tukhfuna min al-kitab wa ya'fu an kathir. He reveals much of which you had covered, of which you were hiding, much of which was revealed to the prophets, to Abraham, to David, to Noah, to Jesus, to Moses, what had been revealed to them as revelation from Allah, that gradually, after a period of many years, you had covered, you had not taught the people, you had twisted the words of the prophets. Our prophet, this prophet who is coming to you, he has been giving the task of clarifying what the prophets before him came with. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these types of people, the people who abandoned the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Maryam, ayah number 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يُلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Now Surah Maryam, for those of you who are familiar with this chapter, begins by mentioning some of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kaf ha ya ayn sad, Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu, who? Zakariya. Zakariya is the first prophet to be mentioned. Ithnada rabbahu nida'in khafiyya. And then he mentions Yahya. After mentioning Yahya, he mentions the story of Maryam and her son Isa, Jesus. And then after him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Abraham and Ishaq, Isaac. and after him Idris, and after him Moses. And after mentioning Moses, he says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. After all of these prophets which we mentioned, and after Moses, there came after them, خَلَفَ means to come after, خَلِيفَ, to succeed. خَلْفٌ. Now the words here are chosen with precision. This word, خَلْف, can have two meanings depending on the vowels. If you say خَلْف, خَلْف refers to a mischievous or an evil successor. However, the word خَلَف means a righteous and a virtuous successor. خَلْف and خَلَف. Allah says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْف. After these people, an evil generation succeeded them. What did they do? أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. They abandoned their prayers. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. They followed their desires. فَسَوْفَ يُلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Certainly these people are lost. Now, the Quran does not say exactly whom these people were. Who were these people that came after these prophets, and especially after Moses, who abandoned their prayer, who followed their desires, who twisted the words of the prophets and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you refer to the Bible tells us exactly whom these people were. Now the first five books of the Old Testament are what? Who knows? What's the first one?
Genesis.
Genesis. And then Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are the first five books of the Old Testament which speak about the creation of the universe. They speak about the creation of man. They speak about the creation of some of the prophets. The chapter Exodus, for instance, the book Exodus speaks about the Exodus, how the Banu Israel, the people of Moses, left Egypt and they went to the desert, and then how they entered the promised land of Palestine. These are the first five books. The sixth book is what? The name of the sixth book? Joshua. Joshua was the successor of Moses. Now, Moses had two successors, one in his life and one after his life. His successor during his life, when he went in order to receive the commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was whom? Harun. وَقَالَ مُوسَى لِأَخِيهِ هَارُونَ اخْلُفْنِي فِي قَوْمِي. Musa said to his brother Harun, I want you to be a successor upon my people while I am meeting my Lord for the 40 days and receiving the commandments. So this is one successor, Harun, Aaron. The successor who came after his life was whom? Because Musa, he left Egypt, he brought Banu Israel out of Egypt, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. However, they never entered Palestine under the leadership of Musa. So who was left with this job? Joshua. In Arabic, he is called Yusha bin Nun. And if you read the first few verses of the book Joshua, it says his story. It begins with the death of Moses and then what happened after that. So Joshua. Now, after Joshua came whom? What's the seventh book? The seventh book is named after the people whom this verse in the Quran speaks about. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. That people succeeded these prophets who abandoned their prayers and they followed their desires and they twisted the words of the prophet. Whom are they? What's the seventh book called? Does anybody know? Judges. Judges, or in Arabic, in the Arabic Bible, it's referred to as Ahd al-Qudat, the area of the judge, the era of the judges. The judges were successors to the prophets. There was about 15 of them. And their era lasted for a century, for about 100 years. And according to the Bible, it is these people, the judges, and their people who abandoned the laws of Moses, who abandoned the laws of Abraham. I'll give you a few verses. When you look at Judges, chapter number 3, verse 8. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Hot against Israel meaning the Banu Israel, the people of Israel, the followers of these judges. What did they do? Chapter number 3, verse 6. This is some of their crimes. And they took their daughters to be their wives. they would marry their own daughters. And gave their daughters to their sons, they would marry their daughters to their sons. And served their gods, gods in plural, meaning they went back to polytheism. Okay, this is one thing. Chapter number 13, verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. The Philistines were dictators who dictated the children of Bani Israel. And throughout this book, the book of the Judges, there are verses which say that these people had to live under dictators. They had to live under oppressors. They had to live under tyranny. They did not find any blessing for a period of 100 years. Why? The Quran says, it is because they suspended the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَىٰ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. They abandoned their prayers. Their prayers here is not only their prayers, their rites of worship were abandoned. Their desires were followed, and certainly they are lost. So the Quran is drawing a relationship between abandoning religious rites and being lost and being tortured and being persecuted. We can also take this as an example in our life. I mentioned the hadith on Thursday. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he says that my nation, my ummah, will walk in the footsteps of Bani Israel, footstep by footstep. And this is addressing Bani Israel. It's not specific to them. It is not specific. It is something for us to also learn as well. That if we suspend the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we follow our own desires, then we shall be lost. And if an oppressor comes and tortures us, and if dictators come and rule over us, and they do not have mercy above us, and we followed our desires and we've suspended the laws of Allah, then we have no one to blame but ourselves. So there's a relationship between those who suspended their laws and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, he says the following, referring to this verse. The hadith says that when Rasulullah read this verse, Surah Maryam, ayah number 59, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. He says, يَكُونُ خَلْفٌ مِن بَعْدِ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً. The Prophet is saying that there will be an offspring, an evil offspring, after 60 years. After 60 years. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يُلْقُونَ غَيَّا. He says, these people will abandon their prayers and they will follow their desires, and certainly they will be lost. 60 years after the death of the Prophet, who was ruling at that time? Yazid ibn Muawiyah. 60 years after the death of the Prophet. And then he continues. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ خَلْفٌ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. He says, and then, either at that time or after that time, the period of 60 years, they will be reading the Qur'an. لَا يَعْدُوا تَرَاقِيهِمْ. It will not pass their taraqi. Taraqi, the word taraqi in Arabic, is the plural of the word turquwa. This bone right here, the collarbone, is referred to as turquwa. They will read the Qur'an, but it will not pass their collarbones. It's like they're making noise. It's like they're shouting. It's like they're talking gibberish. It's not the Qur'an. لا يعدو تراقيهم ويقرأ القرآن ثلاثة مؤمن ومنافق وفاجر. Three types of people will read the Quran: مؤمن, a believer; منافق, a hypocrite; وفاجر, an evil, deviant, licentious person. So the people who read the Quran will be one of three people. Either they will be believers. One third of them will be believers. This is what Rasulullah is saying. The people who you see reading the Quran, there will come a time where the people who you see reading the Qur'an will either be believers or hypocrites or deviants. Meaning what? Don't be fooled by a person reading the Qur'an. Don't they read the Qur'an these days when they cut the heads of innocent people? They are perfect. They read it better than us. They memorize it by age of 10, and by age of 15 they're cutting the heads of people reading the verses of the Qur'an. Don't be fooled by these appearances. This is what Rasulullah is saying, that there will be people just like Banu Israel, who suspended the prayers, who abandoned their rites of worship, who followed their own desires, there will be people among my nation who shall also do the same. Now, going back to the idea of suspension of laws and the abrogation of laws. Now, we have it that sometimes laws can be suspended in the form of abrogation, naskh. Abrogation, there are many different types of abrogation. One type of abrogation is when a certain law is abolished, it is nullified, and it is replaced by a law which is greater than it, a law which is more beneficial, a law which is more complete. And there's a difference between suspension and abrogation. These people, they suspended the laws of Allah and they followed their own desires. But however, sometimes there is abrogation where one law is suspended, it is abolished, and then another law which is more complete, which is better than it, is placed. Now, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. When he speaks to the people of the book, he says, for each one of you, we have created a certain code, a certain law, a certain way of life. He doesn't say that each one of you has their own religion. The word deen in the Quran usually appears in its singular form, deen. It does not appear as adyan. Allah does not say for each and every one of you, you have your own deen, you have your own religion. There is only one deen, there is only one path. And Allah says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that verily the religion, the only valid religion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. Islam here meaning taslim, submitting ourselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entirely. So in regards to deen, the word deen, there is only one. However, different people have different codes, different laws, different methods. وَلِكُلِّن مِنْكُمْ جَعَلْنَا شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. This is where the word shir'ah comes in. Shir'ah and shari'ah. So there is shari'at Ibrahim, the code of Ibrahim. There is shari'at Musa, the code of Musa. There is shari'at Muhammad, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Each one of them is its own code. So there may be things which were permissible in the past, but when at the advent of the religion of Islam, with the introduction of the new Islamic code, they became nullified, they became abolished, they became prohibited. Now why this gradual development? Why didn't God lay out all of the rites of worship and all of the practices and introduce the Quran from the beginning? That's because a perfect religion requires time. Not that it itself requires time, but we as human beings require time and we require trial and error before we can adjust to this perfect way of life. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Amir al-Mu'mineen as his khalifa, as his successor, what did he say? Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. On this day, I have finalized your religion. Not only the religion of Islam, but every religion which came before. That point where the Prophet, the seal of the Prophets, where he ultimately appointed Amir al-Mu'mineen as his successor, was significant not only to Islam, but to every religion which preceded Islam. Now, the difference between suspension and abrogation is this, is that when the religion of Islam came, it did not suspend the laws which came before. It merely abrogated some and adjusted others. Now the question is that can non-Muslims who live under a certain code, under a certain law, can they, in an Islamic environment, under an Islamic nation, can they be judged by the laws of Islam? Or do they have to be judged by their own laws? Now this is a debate which takes place among scholars. Some scholars say that they can follow their own religion living under an Islamic government, as long as it does not begin to influence the environment, as long as it does not begin to influence, wrongfully influence the Muslims around them. Now, we have one instance where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he judged a people according to their own rule of law and not according to his own rule of law. For those of you who are familiar with history, after the Battle of Ahzab, which is also referred to as Ma'rakat al-Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench, took place a few years after the migration of the Prophet from Mecca to Medina. Why did this battle take place? The non-believers in Mecca, the polytheists, along with those who decided to collaborate with them, The Jews of Medina. They decided to collaborate with the polytheists, the idol worshippers of Mecca, in order to fight against the Muslims. So what happened? The Muslims, on the recommendation of the great companion Salman al-Muhammadi, they built a trench around Medina in order to fortify themselves. And this was the first time that they had ever seen trench warfare. And it was Salman, who himself had experience, he was the one who suggested, let us build this. And when Abu Sufyan came, he saw the trench and he was not familiar with it. He said that this is the planning of the Persian. He said, because the Arabs, they did not know how to build trenches. They did not know this was a Persian thing. So he said, this is certainly the planning of the Persian. So alhamdulillah, with the building of that trench, they were able to deflect the attack of the enemy. Now, one of the groups of people who turned against the Muslims at that time was a tribe known as Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza were one of the tribes which were living in Medina, in the outskirts of Medina. Now, there were many Jewish tribes living in and around Medina. The reason why was because many of them had heard through revelation from their elders that at the end of time there will be a prophet who will appear in Yathrib, which was the old name of Medina, and they knew that it was compulsory upon them, obligatory upon them, to follow him and follow his teachings, because he would be the seal of the prophets. Now, when they saw him, some of them did accept him, many of them did not accept him. Why? I'll mention why some of them did not accept him. Banu Qurayza, when the Prophet had first arrived in Medina, he had established a constitution, the Constitution of Medina. One of the clauses of that constitution stipulated that no one, whether Muslim, Jewish, Christian, polytheist, anyone who is living in Medina, in or around Medina, shall take arms against the Muslims, or shall take arms against any of the allies of the Muslims. Banu Qurayza had signed this document that they shall never fight the Muslims. However, when they saw the growing influence, when they saw the popularity of the Muslims, they sought a chance along with the non-believers of Mecca in order to obliterate the Muslims in Medina and to get rid of them once and for all. Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter number 33 in the Quran, draws us a picture of this battle. Now, there were little casualties. Not many people died. In the end, the non-believers, they surrendered to the Muslims. However, after their surrender, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet to lay siege on Banu Qurayza, to fight them. So he fought them, and for a few weeks, it was a stalemate. There were no casualties. No real fighting took place. Until in the end, they knew that they weren't going to be able to win the battle. So what did they do? They said, that's it. We surrender. They waved the white flag, and they were taken as prisoners of war. Now, this is the point that I want to make. According to the law of Islam, how do we treat prisoners of war? Look at the history of the Prophet. In the Battle of Badr, which took place a few years earlier, treat prisoners of war. He let them free. On what condition? He tell them that if you teach 10 Muslims how to read and write, you have purchased your freedom. They were not killed. They were not hurt. They were not tortured. They were not even made fun of. So the Prophet let them go. And according to Islam, according to the Quran, if a person seeks refuge in a Muslim, that Muslim must provide refuge for him. Prisoners of war must be treated with the utmost respect. They are prisoners of war, but they must be treated with utmost respect. They must be fed. They must be taken care of. They must be looked after. They must be respected. However, according to the law of the Old Testament, that's not the case. So what happened? Again, they thought that they could lessen their punishment. So what did they do? They said, Ya Muhammad, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. They said, we don't want you to judge between us. We want to choose another judge. He said, who do you want to choose? They pointed to one of the companions of Rasulullah. His name was Sa'd ibn Ma'ad. Sa'd ibn Ma'ad was from the tribe of Aus. Remember the two warring tribes of Medina, Aus and Khazraj? When the Prophet came, he found Aus and Khazraj, two warring tribes. They had been at war for decades. And the Prophet created peace between them. One of his companions, Sa'd ibn Ma'ad, a very great companion, was from the tribe of Aus. He was injured in the battle of Ahzab, the battle of the trench. So he stayed out of the battle of Banu Qurayza. However, they went to him. They said, we want him to judge between us. Why? Because Banu Qurayza were the allies of Aus. Some historians say that Sa'd himself was from a Jewish family and he converted to Islam. Some say no, they were merely allies of the Jews at the time, Banu Qurayza. And because he was familiar with the laws of Banu Qurayza, he was familiar with the laws of Judaism, they wanted him. So what did he say? Now, if you go back to history, if you read about what they refer to as the massacre of Banu Qurayza, they'll tell you that the Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad, massacred the Jews of Medina because out of hatred. He did not want them. He wanted to get rid of all of his enemies. He was ruthless and he was merciless. However, the Prophet before that had gone to battle with other Jewish tribes and he let them go. Now, why did this massacre take place? What did Sa'd ibn Ma'ad do? He said that if you accept me as your arbitrator and your judge, my word is final. They said, yes, we'll accept your word as the final word. He said, no argument. You will accept my word as the final word. They said, yes. So what did he do? He ordered that all of the male prisoners of war be executed. Now, I did some research about this. And historians, Orientalists, surprisingly, they say that, yes, this was a valid judgment because he used the verse from the Old Testament. What is this verse? This verse is in Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verses 10 to 14. This is what Deuteronomy says, the Old Testament. This is what should be done with prisoners of war. Thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of a sword. Every male, smite their head with the edge of a sword. And let the children and the females go. And this is exactly what happened. They were killed. But the pretext, the source, the text which was used was not the Quran, it was not the Hadith, it was not the desire of the Prophet, it was not the desire of the Muslims, it was the verse, the valid verse from the Old Testament itself. So this is one instance where the Muslims, the Jews were judged according to their own law, not according to Muslim law. Had they chosen the law of Islam, they could have been freed. Just like the prisoners of war were freed in the Battle of Badr, and just like the prisoners of war were freed in the many battles which followed the Battle of Banu Qurayza. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, why did they choose this ruling? If they were familiar with the ruling of prisoners of war that they shall be executed, why did they choose it? I believe, and this is my humble opinion, is that they were so put off by Islam and by the laws of Islam that they wanted nothing to do with it, and that they would rather choose death over accepting the rule of Islam. Because in the beginning, these people, they were waiting for a prophet to arrive, the seal of the prophets. They were anticipating his arrival. But once they saw that this prophet was a son of Ishmael, he was an Arab. He was not a Jew. He was not the son of Isaac. That put them off completely. And until today, subhanAllah, until today there's an enmity between the sons of Isaac and the sons of Ishmael. It lasts until today. And they could not stand the fact that this man was an Arab. He was not amongst them. All of the prophets before had come from them. Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Ishaq, Ya'qub, Yusuf, Yusha, Harun. All of them were from Bani Israel. But this one was not from Bani Israel. And he was the most important of them. And his law superseded the laws of all of them. They didn't accept it. So they would rather choose death over the law of Islam. This is one possibility. Another possibility was that they were not familiar with their own laws. Because in the same way that they had abandoned their laws to an extent that they were not familiar with the punishment of an adulterer, they were not familiar with the code of conduct, the punishment of a prisoner of war. And this is why they chose the lesser of two evils. This is why they chose the judgment of the companion of Rasulullah over their own judgment. Now, this is one point. Another point is that when we go back to the idea of the suspension of laws, we find that this did not only take place after the prophets of Bani Israel. This took place even after the passing of our own Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Laws were suspended and abrogated. And for this, the Quran says to the believers the following. Ya bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ma atakum ar-Rasulu fakhuduhu wa ma nahakum anhu fantahu. O you who believe, what the Prophet gives you, take from him. What he rules, take from him. What he decides, take from him. And what he tells you to turn away from, then turn away from. What he prohibits you from, then you should prohibit yourselves from. This is one verse. Another verse says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not befitting for a believing man or a believing woman that if Allah or His Prophet should ordain something, if they should decree something, that they have the choice whether to accept or refuse. In another verse, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. No, Ya Rasulullah, their iman will not be complete until they come and refer to you on their matters. And after referring to you, when you present them with a verdict, when you present them with a judgment, they accept it wholeheartedly and they do not find any hardship in their hearts in accepting your judgment, Ya Rasulullah. In another verse, he says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ. He's that, this is the ruling, these are the sayings of a man, a prophet, who is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not take from himself, he takes only from Allah. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not talk out of his desire, he only talks out of revelation. In another verse, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. It is not the sayings of a poet, it is not the sayings of a madman, it is not the sayings of a magician. No, certainly these are the revelations and sayings of a divinely inspired prophet. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention all of these verses? Unfortunately, those who came, some people who came after the martyrdom of Rasulullah did exactly what the judges did with Bani Israel. They suspended the rites of worship. They followed their desires. And certainly they were lost. One of the first witnesses to the suspension of laws was Sayyidat Nisa al-Alamin Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. When after the martyrdom of her father, her rights were taken away, the rights of her husband and her imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, were taken away. When she confronted them, what did she say? أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَبْغُونَ After 23 years of the Prophet teaching you and guiding you, after leaving behind the two most important things, the Qur'an as a guide and his Ahlul Bayt as a guide, after all of this, within a matter of days, أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَبْغُونَ Do you suspend the laws of Allah? Do you suspend the laws of the Qur'an? Do you suspend the laws of Ahlul Bayt? And you turn back to the laws of the Jahiliyyah? حُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَبْغُونَ Is this is what you want? The laws of the Jahiliyyah. The Jahiliyyah refers to the era of ignorance which preceded the advent of Islam. Where in this khutbah, she herself, she says exactly what the Jahiliyyah used to do. She says they used to consume the urine and the stool of camels. This is how backwards they were. They used to consume the blood of camels. They used to bury their daughters alive. They used to not care what was going on in their families and their societies. أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَبْغُونَ You suspend the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You suspend the laws of Ahlul Bayt. You suspend the laws of the Qur'an and you turn back to the laws of Jahiliyyah and you follow your own desires. Why is it that people did not learn from the mistakes of Banu Israel? And this is where the Qur'an says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا O you who believe, O Muslims, do not be like the people whom Musa distanced himself from. Those who agitated and bothered and harmed Musa. Who were they? Banu Israel, his own people. Do not be like them. Do not follow in their footsteps. So the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were also suspended after the martyrdom of Rasulullah. However, they were given, they were sugar-coated, and they were given a different word, a different meaning. It wasn't suspension. It wasn't abrogation. They referred to it as ijtihad. Ijtihad, in a nutshell, is the process of deducting Islamic laws from their sources. And ijtihad, when done correctly, is supposed to be excusable. So the claim is that this suspension which took place after the life of Rasulullah is excusable. We can look over it. Now why? Inshallah, I will leave that to tomorrow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and minds to the Qur'an and to the sunnah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and to bless us with his mercy and forgiveness in this holy month. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ghfir lil-mu'minin wal-mu'minat والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Brothers and sisters, before we end, I would just like to mention tomorrow, for those of you who are familiar with the Muntadhar Peace School, which is a local private Islamic school, tomorrow they are holding a demonstration in front of the Irvine Unified School District because the building which they are renting, which they are leasing, the owners or the operators have decided not to extend their lease. And it's a very important location. They would like to renew the lease. So there will be a silent demonstration tomorrow from 9 in the morning for those who can make it and show support, of course, if you can fit it into your schedule. From 9 until as long as it requires, a silent demonstration outside the building of the Irvine Unified School District, inshallah. Please try to show your support. It is for a very good cause. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.